If I got bound on it, there'd probably be no remedy, so he kept me from it with the fear of God on me. I'd try to smoke, and oh, Lord, I'd start trembling. I'd get around where they'd be drinking, and oh, I can't get stuck on that mess. I'd even get around where they were loosing their morals, and sex was on everybody's mind. The fear of what could happen would brace me, and I'd say no when the old flesh cried out for satisfaction. The fear of God has come upon me. Thank God for it. Somebody read me a scripture. Everybody ought to have this and read to them. It's Proverbs 5, 11 through 13, about no remedy. When you go until it's too late to use the cure. America's on her deathbed, and if there's a cure, we'd better find it quickly, ladies and gentlemen. We've scurried up wrong paths and down dead end roads and alleys. We've looked for help when God said there's a time of trouble is what's coming. They looked for a time of health and behold trouble. Jeremiah cried out. But in Scripture, Proverbs 5, 11 through 13, God says you'll mourn at the last. You'll mourn when there's no remedy, when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you'll say, how have I hated instruction? My God, I didn't want my mama, my daddy, the preacher, nobody to tell me anything. I hated instruction. My heart despised reproof. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Now I'm incurably ill. There's no remedy for me anymore. There's no healing medicines that I can turn to. Like the old boy in Memphis when I was pastoring in Memphis, Tennessee, 20-some years ago. That old boy lay dying in that county hospital. Somebody says, you ought to pray with him. They wouldn't even let me get anywhere close to that fella. He had a disease, something incurable. They didn't need doctors, couldn't even have any diagnosis for him. That boy there and them nurses, they good around, they do everything to disinfect him and even to take him food or do anything they could for him. Him laying over there in a corner dying with this old deadly disease that's unknown. Trying to talk to him. All he could, he just had to try difficult, with great difficulty, to lift his voice. Finally he screamed out, he said, preacher! You tell the young people everywhere I go, if they eat the devil's corn, he'll choke them to death on the cob. And he lapsed right back and died like an animal right there in that darkened corner. Screaming. You tell the young people, if they eat the devil's corn, he'll choke them to death on the cob. The last you'll cry, God says, Lord, have mercy till there's no remedy. Until there's no remedy. In Jeremiah also, the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verse 12, God says, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. You don't have any remedy. There's no cure for your spiritual illness. And it's all because of the abominations that these people had committed in rebelling against the word of God spoken by Jeremiah and God's prophets that he sent to them in his compassion. God said in his compassion he sent his messengers, the prophets. He sent his messengers, the prophets, as a last resort. God's not ever going to turn this church back, this nation back to God with pastors, and these pastors of the quality we have today. These pastors are the ones that are brutish and are leading people away from God in the old landmarks. God, have mercy. One thing Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 10:23, the pastors are brutish. They don't have any knowledge. God, have mercy sakes. We done gone too far. God says you don't have any healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. And says, even I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Your sins have increased against me. That's why God says, I'm correcting you and putting judgment upon you. And he says, why cryest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. See, sorrow always results from what sin brings upon you. I've visited a lot of hospitals and these home of incurably ills. Even go and try to pray for some folks. You hear them crying out for help. I remember this same hospital in Memphis I was visiting another time. I went into a ward filled with incurably ill people. I asked one lady, I said, what are you doing in here? That old disease eating you up? He said, let me tell you, preacher. 12 years ago, said my husband and I used to go to a Nazarene church. We were holiness. And says my husband, he backslid and he pulled me down and we turned away from God and got so far away. And this is the result of it. This is the result of me wandering away and rebelling against God. I talked to 5 different women in there and every one of them had virtually the same testimony. I remember here in Jacksonville about 20 years ago when I first started preaching here, one of the local pastors said, brother Pringle, I want you to go with me today to visit a man. He's an ex-Church of God preacher. He's dying with cancer. Come go with me today. And I said, all right. We went over somewhere in Springfield, visited. This fella, he's laying there, a little old skinny fella. He about put your two hands, fingers around his waist. We was on his left side. This pastor said, brother, show brother Ray here what sin did for you. He pulled a covering back and there's a hole right here in his side where there's right beneath his rib cage. A little hole there and he had it all gauzed up. Just a continuous emission of corruption coming out of that hole. But that wasn't the cancer. The cancer was down in here somewhere. He said, brother Pringle, that's what the devil will do for you. He said, 20 years ago, my wife and I pastored the Church of God. And we backslid and went back on God. We went back to drinking and dancing and smoking. And first one thing, the other, he went on to mention. And he said, just a year ago, we got back to the Lord. And he said, this is what sin did for me. But you know what? He put that gauze back over it and he patted it. He said, you know, that's the love of God. He said, if it hadn't been for that cancer, we'd have gone to hell. God took that cancer to bring us back. He said, I know I'm going to die in a few days. But said, I'm ready to go now. And said, if God hadn't put that cancer on me, I'd have been lost. I thank God for it. Boy, what a wise son. You talk to some old, these old Christians out here that's been weaned on sauerkraut. Oh, God don't do nothing like that. You think cancer's better than going to hell? 10 million times better. God have mercy, that's what it takes. Let her come. But God says here, you don't have any healing medicine. You're incurably. He said, your bruise is incurable. Then he says, thy sorrow. See what comes from that bruise, from that cancer, from that deadly disease, from your body wasting away because of sin, because of that tragedy. God says, the sorrow, there's no cure for it. The Bible said these people went on. They would not hearken to God until there was no remedy for their sickness, their sorrow, and all that pain that was pressing its way into their hearts and into their bodies because of their sins. There was no cure for it. In Proverbs, I'm going to have to hasten on here. Proverbs, the 6th chapter again, to call your attention to this great book. It's a great book. Verses 14 and 15, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Just suddenly your destruction comes upon you. No remedy for it because you've hardened and rebelled against the words of God. Your heart's hard. Your spirit set up against God. And God knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Another great prophet here that prophesied approximately the same time as Jeremiah's lifetime. In Zechariah, the 7th chapter, verse 11, God, I'm going to begin in verse 7. Should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited? and in prosperity in the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain, God says here to the prophet, said, why didn't you listen to them other prophets before me? When you were in prosperity, when everything was prosperous around you, when you had your health, when you had plenty of food to eat and your dwelling place was peaceful, you had God's blessing upon you, shouldn't you have heard the words that God cried through his prophets when you were full of people and prosperous? Yeah, but that ain't when Christians like to listen, people like to hear. Verse 11, they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. They didn't want to hear God's prophets. God's prophets don't play around. You might find a pastor that does, and most of them do. You might find an evangelist that wants to panty waist and soothe, say, and comfort and all that kind of mess.